America Weekend.
Welcome back to America Weekend. I'm Ed Kalecki. Our next guest is the author of one of the most compelling books to come out over the past few years, the best-selling Johnny Carson. He spent nearly two decades as Carson's attorney, confidant, counselor, partner, employee, business advisor, earpiece, and much more. He is back with Mommy Dearest, the explosive epilogue to the best-selling Johnny Carson. It is quite a pleasure to say hello once again to Henry Bushkin. Henry, welcome back to the show.
Thanks, Ed. It's a pleasure to be with you again.
I really appreciate your time today. Towards the tail end of your first appearance on the show, you mentioned that you had just started to learn more about Carson's mother, Ruth, that may shed some light on her behavior. Tell us how the epilogue came about and why you felt it was so important to write it.
Well, it came about simply because an amateur genealogist in the Midwest, actually from Milwaukee, actually a lawyer, a senior partner in a big-time law firm there, took it upon herself to do research into Johnny's mother, Ruth Carson. And it took her about a month, I guess, worth of work, and she sent me the results. And it was kind of startling to me because it shed a whole new light on Johnny's mother, and I believe that Johnny didn't know any of these things, nor do I think any member of the family knew these things about how traumatic a childhood Ruth Carson really had. And the reason for this epilogue is that so many readers of the book sort of pillarized Ruth Carson, saying she was a horrible person, a horrible mother, and so on. So I thought this epilogue deserved to be written because it sheds an entire new light on the relationship between Johnny and his mother. Indeed, it sheds new light on relationships in general between mothers and sons, mothers and daughters.
And it really goes to show once again how we are all products of what we are brought up with and what we are exposed to. And in the book, you talk about how Johnny's development and his ability with his adult relationships was really hampered because of what he dealt with his mother. But now we see his mother had an absolutely horrible childhood. She witnessed her brother being punched in the stomach. He dies. She loses her mother not long afterwards. And she ends up 10 years old, essentially raising a family.
Exactly, because the father went out looking for a new wife. After all, this was a remote section of Iowa in 1910, and he found a new wife, and immediately the new wife had kids. He had five kids with the new wife, and the old family, Ruth and her three siblings, were now sort of brought up by the church and by relatives in that little small town, and she became a mother at 10, essentially.
And if I remember correctly, she was raising girls, and then when she marries Johnny Carson's father, Homer, when she's, I think, 22, and she has Johnny, it's her first experience trying to raise a boy. Now, Johnny was named after the brother that she lost, so she probably was struggling with all kinds of different emotions. Well, now she's trying to raise this son, it's different. And that's something she never could really get past.
Well, the first child she had was a daughter, Johnny's older sister, Catherine. So obviously she was very comfortable with girls because she had raised her little sisters. And so Johnny, coming a few years later, was the first boy she had to deal with. And the suspicion was, and indeed it's been reported in newspapers back in Iowa, that she probably had some problems because her father essentially deserted that side of the family, although he took care of them financially.
Right.
But he was paying attention to the new wife and the new children.
You knew Johnny Carson better than most people did during that time, 70s into the 80s. And you say that he had no idea, obviously, that what had happened and all of this that has gone on in his mother's life. How do you think he would have reacted if he knew what you know now?
Well, that's an interesting question, because Johnny was sort of the John Wayne school, that men don't cry.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, psychological help, psychiatric health could have dealt with this, I think, comfortably. But Johnny never would have acknowledged going to a psychiatrist or a psychologist for help. And I think it would have been immensely profitable for him had he known these things, had he been able to deal with them during his lifetime. And again, this was the Midwest in the early 1900s, and people didn't share their feelings. They kept them to themselves. And that's why we're pretty sure that Johnny and his brother and sister knew nothing of Ruth Carson's early childhood.
It's amazing how, you know, you could think about how things go on in families and they just don't share things. And you're right. It's more than that. Just I'm a man, I don't cry. It's that Midwestern thing. There's some old adage that a Midwestern man loved his wife so much he almost told her about it one day. It's unbelievable. Isn't it amazing, though, how people can hold in their feelings like that for years and years and years?
Yeah. Johnny never consciously said, when I grow up, I want to be just like my mom. But unfortunately, that's exactly what happened. And I asked myself, could it have been stopped? Could he have been a better man if he had a better mom?
Sure.
These are really difficult questions to which the epilogue sheds some light on that, because you realize that the apple really doesn't fall very far from the tree.
Right.
And had he had the professional help, I think he could have gotten over this, and I think he would have been a much better man personally. I mean, he was a brilliant performer. This has nothing to do with his brilliance as a performer. This mm-hmm. has to do with his capacity as a human being.
Now, in the epilogue, you spell out, and the epilogue is just as engrossing as the book. If you love the book, this is the perfect way to wrap up the entire thing. In the book, you lay out the case that you believe that Carson had what is called narcissistic personality disorder, NPD. Tell me a little how you, and I know you've had some help with Dr. Arthur Mallon with this, tell me how you came to that conclusion.
Well, I actually had more help than just Dr. Mallon. Originally, I had worked with a psychologist who was the writer early on, and then I got more involved and started working with Dr. Mallon. And I think the essence is, when a child grows up without that love and comfort from a mom, they seek it some other way. And in Johnny's case, he started performing when he was a young kid as a clown. And then it turned to magic, and he realized he was getting applause from the audience. He was getting acknowledgments from people who were watching his little shows. And as he grew up, he got all that love and comfort from the audience. That's where he got it from.
Mm-hmm.
And when you don't get it from your the person you're supposed to get it from, the mom, much more so than the dad, you develop this need to get comfort somewhere else, and you develop this what we call narcissistic personality disorder, which in many cases. Let's take the case of Carson. He became obviously a superstar, and the narcissism that any personality, any celebrity, any big time star, as you well know, Ed, they are narcissistic. They have to be narcissistic. They're always
right.
concerned about how they look, how people are reacting to them. If you take Brad Pitt, for example, he's never going to walk into the restaurant and wait for a table. That table better be waiting. Now, if you grow up and you have these problems that Johnny did growing up, or that the mom had when she was growing up, you develop this personality disorder, which in Johnny's case was like on steroids, because he was such a gigantic star.
Mm-hmm.
And when you realize the upbringing and the problems he had with his mom not being able to give him the comfort he was getting it from the audience, and when you look at people like I mentioned in the article, Woody Allen and Charlie Sheen and Alec Baldwin, you realize that they all had the same issues growing up, and they all had the same problems as adults. I mean, Woody Allen married his stepdaughter.
Sure, exactly.
I mean, that's sort of unbelievable.
Yeah.
He married his son's sister.
It's amazing how it manifests itself in such weird ways.
Charlie Sheen, for example, his mother had a horrible childhood. She was the product of rape. Her mother was going to abandon her and push her down the river when she was stopped by relatives who raised her.
Wow.
And eventually her mother took her back, but she was unable to give to her kids, Charlie and his brother, what they deserve.
Yeah. More with Henry Bushkin coming up. I'm Ed Kalenge, and this is America Weekend from the Envision Radio Network.
America Weekend.
Think Green. Harrison with you. The actual sounds planets make as charged electromagnetic particles from solar winds bounce back to Earth, affecting our weather and communications from 2.8 million miles away. We've relied on the Mars Climate Orbiter to give our scientists a greater understanding of how natural forces work on our own planet. The Romans named Mars for their god of war, and human sacrifice was thought the only way to make Mars happy. Now we think Mars was once pummeled by floods and living water, but now we're sure life did exist as we look to rescue Earth through understanding its neighbors.
Think Green with Harrison at thinkgreenradio.com.
If you're an inventor who would like to attempt to have your idea or invention patented and submitted to industry, call InventHelp. They have free information for you. Call 1-800-405-9878. That's 1-800-405-9878.
Big Success in a Minute with George and Mary Lynn.
Follow your passion is bad advice, says William McCaskill, an ethicist at Oxford and Princeton.
Instead, he suggests, do something valuable. Research shows you'll be happier at work if what you do makes a difference in the lives of others.
Further research shows that the bigger the difference you feel you make, the better you'll perform. Better performance, of course, likely leads to better pay.
So where do you start? Stop trying to find yourself. It's too abstract. Stop fighting for money, fame, power, and status. There's too much competition. Instead, find a problem you can solve.
Then people will help you as you make a difference in the lives of others. That's Big Success.
Find Big Success at BIGGSuccess.com.
Just because you don't have time to read a book doesn't mean you can't enjoy stories about artists and groups that you love. To discover a whole new world of audiobooks and hear the stories that made the music, visit HappyLandAudio.com. That's HappyLandAudio.com.